The Last Years of Asa's Reign is the way that it's titled in the NIV. And I'll read this to you and then just make a very brief comment. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. Asa then took the silver and gold out of the treasuries of the Lord's temple and of his own palace and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. "Let there be a treaty between me and you," he said, "as there was between my father and your father. See, I'm sending you silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so he will withdraw from me." Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa and sent the commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel. They conquered Lojon, Dan, Abel, Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. When Baasha heard this, he stopped building Ramah and abandoned his work. Then King Asa brought all the men of Judah, and they carried away from Ramah the stones and timber Baasha had been using. With them, he built up Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war." Asa was angry with the seer because of this. He was so enraged that he put him in prison. At the same time, Asa brutally oppressed some of the people. The events of Asa's reign from the beginning to the end are written in the book of Kings of the Kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Then, in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his fathers. They buried him in a tomb that he had cut out for himself in the city of David. They laid him on a bier covered with spices and various blended perfumes, and they made a huge fire in his honor. So if you were reading the story over the weekend, you you'll know the kind of interesting history of the king of Judah called Asa. He reigned for a long time, as you can see from the text here, and kind of went through various different phases in his relationship with the Lord. At first, it's kind of, you know, normal kind of routine stuff. But then when he's attacked by this gigantic force of Cushites and Libyans, he seeks the Lord, and the Lord gives him deliverance. And after that, there appears to be a kind of a gradual turning towards himself rather than away from the Lord. It's interesting, right at the very end, it's almost as though this is illustrative. It says in verse 14, they buried him in a tomb that he had cut out for himself. It's almost as though there's a kind of a phrase there that's indicative of what's going on in Asa's life. He dies a sad, lonely, and sick man because he would not seek the Lord in his need. And the reason he didn't seek the Lord in his need was because he genuinely believed that that he was entitled to the Lord showing up on his behalf without him asking. And the reason he thought that was because he thought that his obedience and service of the Lord had justified his position, which was, I've given to you, now you need to give to me. And so what appears to have happened in the life of Asa was that he had developed not a position of humility, but a position of entitlement. And you see this continuously. I reckon that this is the single biggest issue that I face as a leader dealing with other leaders and other significant influences around the world. This idea that they're entitled to certain things because of the service that they've rendered. And it's quite shocking. I mean, you see it in all kinds of contexts. You'll see it in contexts where, for instance, a leader will regularly use material, insight, opportunity that they've received from somebody else without ever recognizing it or ever honoring it. You know, the kind of the various stages of plagiarism, which begin with, you know, my great friend blah, blah, blah taught me this. And the final stage is the Lord was speaking to me only today, and I received this fresh as manna from heaven. And it's quite shocking when you encounter that. Of course, occasionally you get called out on it. There have been a couple of occasions where pastors have come back to me and told me that their congregations have come to them and called them out on various different things like that. That level of entitlement in our life is generally dependent upon one thing, a misunderstanding of grace. As soon as you start thinking that you are being justifiably rewarded rather than graciously given something that you do not deserve, you're going to get yourself into trouble. As soon as you start believing that what you're getting is what you're entitled to, rather than the gracious, unmerited gift of a God who, quite honestly, doesn't need to give us anything because he's already given us more than we could possibly measure in the gift of his son, Jesus. As soon as we get ourselves into that position, we start along the road that Asa sadly went along. And by the time he got to the position that he was at the end of his life, his heart had become hardened. And it's something that the New Testament speaks about when it refers to the callousing of your heart, the process by which your heart becomes less and less sensitive to God. And our hearts become less sensitive to God simply because our hearts are not given to him and therefore are given to the creator and redeemer of our hearts to maintain that sensitivity, but are held in our own hands, which by their very nature will lead us away from him. So I think the simple lesson of today's scripture is simply this. Let's allow this word to kind of press this particular point into our hearts today. Let's remember today that what we have received in our life is a gift. And it's a gift that is entirely unmerited. It's not because we're good that we get to go to heaven. It's because God is gracious. It's not because we're good that great things are happening. It's because God is gracious. Someone once said to St. Francis of Assisi, one of the greatest leaders the church has ever seen, one of the greatest champions of the kingdom of God throughout all of history, they said, "Francis, why do you think God used you?" And Francis, quick as a shot, said, "Because God wanted to show how he could use such useless material to do such great things." And if we're very far from that, I think we get ourselves into trouble. Now, that's not to say that we walk around with this kind of view of ourselves that is untrue. You should have a sober estimate of yourself. You should understand that God has made you his child, that you have all of the riches of heaven at your disposal now, and that as such, you are the representative of your Father, the King. But if we ever believe that we receive that in anything other than as a gift of grace, we really do get ourselves into trouble. So today, this is what I feel like. I feel incredibly confident. I feel incredibly grateful. I feel as though, like the guy in the Titanic film, I'm the king of the world. But the reason I'm like that is because it's all grace and it's all a gift. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures, and we thank you, Lord, for this illustrative and helpful insight that we receive from the life of Asa. Lord, we pray that our lives would not be marked by entitlement, by a cleaving to rules that we can easily keep and then believe that we should receive the benefits and the rewards of keeping them. But a life, Lord, marked by humility that comes from a recognition that everything we have has been given by you and received as a gift. Lord, we pray that as we recognize the richness of the relationship that you've given us, that we are children of the King of the universe, that we represent him here on earth. Lord, we pray that in all of that and in the security and the significance that that brings to our lives, Lord, we pray that we might always hold in our hearts the humble attitude that we've received it all as a gift. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.